Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. In 2018, the Minnesota chapter of the Society of Professional Journalists named Mukhtar Ibrahim's Twitter account the best social media account in Minnesota. Ibrahim is the founder and executive director of Sahan Journal. It's a nonprofit news organization that chronicles the struggles, successes, and transformations of Minnesota's diverse immigrant communities, which continue to grow rapidly. Mukhtar Ibrahim was the Morning Philip guest at the Garage in Rapid City earlier today. Morning Philip is presented by the NUMAD Group with support from the Bush Foundation. We welcome Ibrahim to the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio in Rapid City. Mukhtar, thank you for joining us on In the Moment.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Tell us about Sahan Journal. Is there a model for this kind of startup publication and this kind of focus?
Yeah, so Sahan Journal is a new nonprofit organization in Minnesota that is trying to kind of pioneer a new way of covering immigrant communities in Minnesota. So we have, you know, one small nonprofit organization in the Twin Cities called MinPost. It's it was founded one of the first you know, nonprofit organizations founded in the country, I think, in 2009. So we are kind of we are gonna have some kind of similar model in terms of like getting soliciting donations from foundations and individual members contributing to support us, and sponsorships from organizations and companies, and potentially some advertising. So that's the model we'll be using, but our approach will be to kind of deeply cover and tell authentic stories from these diverse growing immigrant communities in Minnesota. And we want to be highly community-centered. We want to engage the community in the reporting process, where they will tell us the issues that are important to them, the problems that they see exist in the mainstream news organizations, so that we can, you know, we are not going to duplicate that process, but we are going to we'll try to kind of reverse engineer the journalism process, and so that we can tell authentic and comprehensive stories out of these communities.
As a journalist, what problem are you trying to solve?
So I'm a journalist, and I have worked for, you know, a couple of big newsrooms in Minnesota and other states. So the problem that I often see is it comes down to, you know, how the issues that we usually cover in terms of like immigrant communities, we tend to you know, cover these communities when there's a problem, and we want to kind of tell when they are in a low moment, like when, you know, someone gets deported, or when they face some immigration problem, or when, you know, people get stopped at the border. And, you know, those kind of superficial stories that we normally hear. But the flip side is, you know, especially in Minnesota, we have very vibrant, growing immigrant communities who are participating in the democratic process, who are trying to contribute to the society, who are, you know, trying to raise a family and be better citizens. And we are not hearing from the stories of how they are transforming and, you know, changing the state. And we're not, you know, we don't see their successes, struggles being portrayed in a way that goes beyond the surface and touches on, you know, these stories. And reporters are not getting out of their comfort zones to establish, you know, connections and trust with these communities that will help them tell, you know, coverage that is not like, you know, these immigrants are taking advantage of the system, or they are here to overtake the country, or, you know, those kind of fear and the rhetoric around immigration. And we're just kind of trying to kind of dispel the myth around immigrants and immigration and refugees in specifically in Minnesota.
Do you find that people in the community get that from a journalistic perspective? And is that helping build the trust? Or how big of a challenge is building that trust?
Yeah, I mean, if everything that these people hear are almost always negative or bad news from, you know, immigrants or refugees, then what people believe will be just those kind of narrow focus on that. And when they meet with someone from an immigrant background or refugee or someone from a Muslim background, they might have already some assumptions about that specific person. So I think that's the challenge that, and the media plays a role in that, in terms of like how, what they choose and how they cover issues. So I hope to see more of diversity in newsrooms and kind of a focus on really telling stories that go below the surface, that stories that really touch on the humanity of these communities, and just kind of, you know, shedding a light on who these communities are, how they live their lives, the schools they go to, and the challenges that they face when they come to a new country, and their successes, and how they are bringing rich cultural diversity to work, you know, to workplaces and to other environments. So I think if we do that, then there will be some kind of understanding and connection between the larger mainstream community and this new growing immigrant communities.
You mentioned diversity in newsrooms, and journalists are increasingly asked to examine their own racial bias in new ways. What do you see some of the markers of racial bias or bias regarding covering immigrant communities in journalism today?
Right. So in Minnesota, we had a two-day conference that addressed problematic racial narratives in the mainstream media. So that, you know, just a day or two after that conference, I came across a report in one of the TV stations that it was a report about the deportation of Liberian immigrants in Minnesota and the expiration of one of the programs that really helped them stay in the country. And that report kind of combined a lot of different things that were not connected to the Liberian community. They had a video of people protesting in the Middle East. They had Somalis protesting in front of the federal court in Minnesota. They had, you know, other communities that were not related to the issue that they were talking about, which was the deportation of, you know, Liberian immigrants in Minnesota. And all of that combined, you can see that, you know, how easy it is to kind of depict all immigrant communities in just one light, and how easy it's for reporters to assume and have assumptions about communities. The story was, you know, the Liberian community, but I didn't see, I saw a few minutes or a few seconds of Liberians on the video, and everything that was included in that segment was something that had nothing to do with that story, you know. So those kind of small things, but something that people like me and people from these communities will immediately notice that kind of coverage, and they will, you know, they won't believe that that station is serving them, because they don't know anything about their community. So that kind of, you know, divide between the expectations from professional journalists and what they're producing is kind of something that complicates the process of informing people in a more authentic way.
As you listen to people in different immigrant communities in Minnesota, what are some of the issues that they're telling you are vital to be covered? What's important to different Minnesota immigrant communities right now that you know so far?
Right. I think education is really one issue that came up through our conversations. People want to know more about, you know, the education system, how, you know, programs like, you know, ESL English language programs for immigrants and refugees, how the schools do that. There's a big achievement gap in Minnesota between the white students and the people of color, and they want to know about what's causing that and how people can kind of bridge that gap. You know, I hear more about people interested in learning more about faith and the Muslim community and the issues. When we hear about, you know, the Muslims, it's always something to do with, you know, terrorism and Islamophobia, and people want to go beyond that and kind of really shape the narrative and tell the stories without, you know, mentioning terrorism and other things that always come up when we, you know, talk about Muslims. So people just want to really, people want to see the stories told in a way that is authentic, that is the way that they live, without adding any other, you know, factors that doesn't have nothing to do with history.
Which is a very human request, doesn't it? It doesn't
Absolutely.
Seem like that's asking a whole lot to be portrayed authentically and accurately as human beings living in a particular time in history.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, I mean, we are all human beings. We relate to each other through stories. So when someone reads an incomplete story, they will have an incomplete picture of that person, and that might be the only thing that they see when they meet that, you know, someone from that group. So people are just asking that the story should be told in a more complete way.
I know this is a newsletter, or I'm sorry, an online nonprofit news organization. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to In the Moment. We're talking about the Sahan Journal. That's S-A-H-A-N. You can follow it now on Twitter and find the beginning landing page online. My guest is Mukhtar Ibrahim, who is the journalist in charge of this operation. And again, focusing on Minnesota, but you're a graduate of the Columbia School of Journalism. And I'm wondering, when you were doing that kind of education and bringing your whole self, your Somali heritage, your Minnesota life, and the interest that you have in journalism, when you're in that graduate program, were you seeing right away the importance of people telling Minnesota stories from Minnesota, you know, from these communities? Talk a little bit about, beyond the borders of the Midwest, what some of those major news organizations really need those stories to be told from people who live here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I went to Columbia to advance my journalism education so that I can, you know, better report on these communities. So, I mean, when we hear, you know, when I was at Columbia, there have been some incidents related to Minnesota. And there was an incident in St. Cloud, Minnesota, where one Somali guy went to a mall and he stabbed, you know, some shoppers at the mall, St. Cloud Mall. And CNN had a breaking news out of that. You know, it's a local incident. And but the national media outlets picked out that specific incident because the only reason was it was a Somali who went to a shop, a mall, and kind of stabbed a few people. But like that, you know, focus of like amplifying a small incident like that really shows how we view these people as, you know, as the other, as a threat, as, you know, kind of we depict them in a way that is not the way the normal person, a Somali in Minnesota, lives. And, you know, I was just sitting in a classroom and Columbia has, you know, it shows different channels, and CNN had this big breaking news banner. And, you know, like when you see those kind of things, they brought like experts talking about terrorism and if this has something to do with, you know, terrorism or Al-Shabaab or Al-Qaeda. And, you know, people view that and they hear those kind of stories, and then when they, the next time they meet someone, or the next time they hear about the Somali community, will be a similar incident that is being amplified and added on, something that has nothing to do with what happened. So I hope the mainstream media really kind of stops, you know, the fear-mongering and sensationalization of incidents around the Muslim community or immigrants and refugees.
So that same story was used by, you know, candidates for office here in South Dakota when they were talking about immigration legislation they wanted to bring in a very similar way. And, you know, as a journalist, these are things that you would still report on. You would still report on crime. You would still report on what's happening in that situation. But talk about the responsibility of journalists to say the stories that you choose to cover and the way you choose to cover them are used beyond just the headline. You know, they have a life where people are going to seek them out and find them. How do you balance that as a journalist as you tell these stories?
Right. So for us as a journalists, we have to follow some ethical principles, and one of them is to minimize harm. So I think journalists, when they are covering issues that they can't relate to or they are not familiar with, I hope they pause and kind of think how they will cover that particular issue or incident if it was something that is from their own community. If a white person is covering an issue related to, you know, the Syrian community or the Kenyan community or the Somali community, how will they go about covering if that particular incident was from their own community? And I think if reversing that will kind of tell them to put their assumptions aside and kind of view these people as like any other community that is, you know, they are our neighbors, and we want to kind of tell the stories without making it more controversial than it is. So I hope people will kind of pause and think critically, and because we have a big responsibility to be fair and balanced and tell stories in a way that is the true versions of what happened, as closest as possible. So hopefully, you know, as more people get trained about race and problematic racial narratives in the media, they will at least, you know, remember those kind of lessons when they go out of the newsroom and go to cover incidents that might has nothing to do with who they are or they might not be familiar with.
Sahan Journal is spelled S-A-H-A-N. You can find it on Twitter and online today. Mukhtar Ibrahim is our guest, and he was at the Rapid City Morning Philip, brought to you by the NUMAD Group and the Bush Foundation. He's also a Bush Fellow. Mukhtar, thank you so much for being here today. We appreciate your time.
Thank you. I appreciate it.